Our next session, our 11 o'clock session, is operational impact of significant cases. And I don't think it's fair that I should have to introduce Yvonne Puig. I don't think anyone should have to. I think it's loaded against me, but I know that if you've stayed this long, that this will be a highlight for you. And I also want to say that, unfortunately, we're losing her as soon as this session is over. So we'll hold her to making sure she leaves time for questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank the law school. I appreciate the opportunity to visit and speak and to serve on the planning committee. I also appreciate everybody staying late. I know people need to get on the road because there's a lot of rain and bad weather out there, and some people are taking flights. So I appreciate you very much. I'd like to start the way I start every time, by thanking everybody who helps put this paper together. My principal author is Daphne Calderon, who couldn't be here today, but I have others. And as you know, this is the methodology, and I'll explain it again, because you may not see your favorite case, and you may not see a case for your system. And there's a reason for that, because we try to select the cases that are not only noteworthy, but that have an operational impact to what you do and how you're advising your clients internally, and as outside counsel, how you advise your clients. I try to select cases from all over the country based on hot topics. Some of the cases have been reported elsewhere. You'll also note that other than discussing Dobbs almost at the very end, because we had a Dobbs-focused speaker yesterday, I am not covering the other high-profile cases in Texas arising out of Dobbs, or the so-called abortion pill cases, because they were covered yesterday and we coordinated so that we wouldn't duplicate our efforts. And so you won't see those cases here. There are a lot of cases. Some of them are a bit procedural. I am well aware this is not a trial program, as everyone has always said, and is not intended to be. But what I do try to give you is everywhere, all in one place, in the paper and in this PowerPoint, things that you can use. And so you don't have to read, you know, anything else or advance sheets. You can just come here, and I hope you capture the best of what's gone on in the last year. So with that as a background, let's get started. Maybe the most watched case in the country right now, for if you do due process work, if you do work involving physicians, and particularly, we've always heard the phrase, the aging practitioner, the special challenges of the aging practitioner. This is the case to watch. And we have been watching it now for a number of years. And I'll go over the basic facts again, because they're so important. And they may offer some insight into what you're facing at your particular facility with the, quote, challenges of the aging practitioner. Here, Yale referred to it as the challenges of a late career practitioner. So every system calls it something a little different. The plaintiff's complaint seeks to end unlawful employment practices on the basis of age, redress interference with rights protected under the ADA. Because Yale medical staff privileges are a condition of employment to the clinical faculty there, the Yale School of Medicine and other employers, this policy, and I'll discuss the policy in a moment, it applies to people only 70 years and older, and is not based on any evidence, for example, declining eyesight, early dementia, or anything else. It is age-based solely, not unlike the airlines, for some of the airlines that have mandatory retirement at 65. Per the complaint, the Yale School of Medicine faculty with appointments must obtain medical staff privileges at the time of initial employment appointment and every 2 years thereafter. Since March 2016, Yale imposed an additional condition on the granting of privileges for people 70 and older. Only those 70 and older are subject to this policy, again, with no suspicion of a problem or a decline in the ability to practice.